Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and I hope you're ready for the most current home improvement information that you're going to find anywhere. Practical, realistic, real doable projects that we'll be talking about with homeowners all over the country. Great amount of emails came in this week. We appreciate those. We're going to tackle every single one of them that we possibly can. And Joe, we got a lot of things we're talking about. You know, people are looking at a little bit of cleanup here and there, particularly in their kitchens. We've got a lot of great tips to tell them how to get some of that gunk off of the cabinets that accumulate over the years.
Yeah, usually it's cooking grease, right? The grime starts anywhere around by the range, the cooktop, and it spreads from there, and also around the knobs. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we had our kitchen redone recently, and it took me quite a while to find them, but I was looking for knobs that I liked that either had a plate behind them, like a steel escutcheon plate, or the knobs stuck out far enough that you could grab it without actually touching the cabinet, because these were painted cabinets, and I was trying to have the paint last as long as possible. So anywhere you're even touching, because, you know, obviously our hands have natural oils in them, they get on the cabinets too. So whether it's right over the stove or anywhere else in the kitchen, you know, grease and grime gets built up, and then of course dust and dirt stick to it. So if you wait too long, can be pretty difficult to clean it off.
You know, that's also a real common way that cabinets get damaged a little bit. You know, people with rings on reaching into drawer, like the cutlery drawer or your trash can pullout, can get scarred up very easily. A lot of times, maybe even hit it with your fingernail a little bit. And I noticed already, I've been in my house 7 months, already noticed the trash can there has a little bit of damage around it. And I'll tell you what I'd planned on doing there, and I just hadn't gotten around to it, is putting one of those apparatuses, foot pedals, when you push the trash can in, it almost like cocks the trigger. it kind of has
a spring. Fires it out into the kitchen. You have to stand back.
It kind of puts it there. Then when you push the little foot pedal there, it pops out so that you're never having to basically touch it to open it, just to push it back in. So I know those little devices are available. I just haven't, you know, like that's kind of far down on the list with some of the other things there, especially this time of the year. But that's one of the things that we need to try to figure out.
Well, Christmas is coming. Maybe Santa will bring you a foot-operated trash can.
Oh, that would be just so romantic. Let's see. Another thing, you know, that we're going to talk about is a lot of people, and this is a good thing, love to go to Habitat Restore, or they're salvaging a really cool plumbing fixture, cast iron sink, cast iron tub. But a question that we get all the time is it feasible to try to refinish that yourself? You know, so many times that you see, of course, there's professionals, services that do that. Is it worth it? Will it hold up? That's something that we want to talk about a lot, because, you know, you get one of these nice, and we've installed a lot of these big cast iron apron sinks.
Right.
Some of them will even have the little drain board kind of thing there. They're big, they're heavy, but they can be quite a focal point in the right kind of kitchen. But we'll have to discuss whether or not you can really get it looking like you want it to look.
Yeah, although they do make replicas, none of them quite look. The modern ones, farm sinks and apron sinks, they go by a couple of different names, none of them quite look like the originals. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if the thickness of the cast iron or the enamel, but there's something about those old ones and they're almost indestructible, so you can find them. They're not always in great shape, but structurally, they're usually pretty sound. So yeah, if you can, but it's one of those jobs, like, can you do it yourself? Yes. But what's it going to look like in the end? It's like cutting your own hair. Can you cut your own hair? Yeah, but what are you going to look like? Maybe you're better off paying the $20 or $30 and have a professional do it. And that, I think, is sometimes the same with refinishing a tub or a sink in this case.
You know, I've never attempted to brush my hair, but I'm chuckling because...
brush your hair. You do brush it occasionally, don't you?
No, well, I brush it, but I've never attempted to actually cut it or trim it myself. But, you know, you see so many people during this, you know, this past year that, you know, the barbershops and the beauty places have closed down, and they had to do that themselves, but I never actually had to do that, but you know, and some people will say, hey, you know what, I cut my own hair. And you, and it's all you could do to keep from cracking up because you're looking at it
going, of course you did.
I can see that. Yes, yes. That cereal bowl is maybe just the right size for your head. But, yeah, that's one of those things. Hey, what about a simple solution this hour, Joe? What do you have for us?
Well, I have a rather seasonal one. We shot a simple solution, I think it was a few months, maybe it was last year at this time, but I never got a chance to share it with the radio audience. It's how to make a decorative Christmas tree out of an old wooden pallet. And Danny, I'm sure you're familiar with this whole industry, it seems to be, of people using pallets to, they used to take them just to cut them up and burn them, but now people started building all kinds of projects. I know you and Chelsea on the TV show have shown how to reuse some of these pallets. So I have one on how to make a decorative Christmas tree. It only takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes to prepare it, and then you can paint it and decorate it. It's the kind of thing you might put in a spare room or on the front porch, something like that. It wouldn't be your main Christmas tree in the house, but just an added decorative holiday ornament for the house.
Oh, that's a great idea. Perfect for that. And I'll tell you what, we're also going to tell you about the last chance you have to enter our Tools Under My Tree giveaway. We'll give you those details in just a little bit. Hey, it's definitely gotten cold. It's definitely challenging a lot of people in keeping their homes nice and comfortable. And Joe, it makes me think about something that we hear every year. There's always controversies. You know, there's always different opinions in the world of home improvement. And one thing you get a lot of conflicting opinions on is whether or not you should close your foundation vents during this time of the year. You think about it, you know, when you're in the really cold areas of the country and you have that cold air getting under your house in your crawl space where you have water lines and you have other things that could get damaged by the freeze. But then you have people saying, no, never close those because they need the circulation and you need that air flowing under the house all the time. And then there's even some school of thought there to say close them during the summer because that's when the humidity is the highest to block out the humidity. So I'll have to say on this one subject, I'm really not sure. It seems like over the years, I've heard more than anybody else to say, no, leave it open. You should have your pipes insulated under there anyway. Leave it open. You always need that circulation. What's your opinion on that one, Joe?
Well, I think you're right. It's hard to say this is the definitive answer. And I think it's largely because of where you live in the country. Like, I'm up in Connecticut. We don't have anybody. I've never seen a house with a crawl space with open vents and pipes underneath. I mean, there would be no way to keep those pipes from freezing up here. But if you're in Virginia, most of the year you might be able to get away with it, but you're still going to have some freezing. If you go down to Mobile, Alabama, where you are, maybe most winters you can get through the whole winter without a concern. So I think that's the issue. It's not so much whether you should have them open or closed. Sometimes you can leave them open year-round. Sometimes you need to close them, but it depends on where you live. So unless we hear from someone who lives in a specific part of the country, it'd be really hard to say. But yeah, I mean, up here, at least where I've lived in the Northeast most of my life. I spent some time, 4 or 5 years down in Miami, but most of the time up here in New England, you know, I mean, we don't have any vents. You know, I have windows in the basement. I open for most of the year, and in fact, I just closed one a couple of weeks ago, just to keep the cold air out. But that would be a very site specific answer, depending on where you're living in the country.
Well, another one that you hear a lot of people, and I actually see people doing this, where they get on their roof with a black garbage bag and they wrap it around and duct tape it around their turbines or their attic exhaust fans, even going into the attic and closing up the gable vents so that you're trapping that air in there. We can pretty much agree across the country here, don't do that. It's so important to get that hot, moist air out of your attic. It's so important that you have the ability if there are any spare leaking gases of any kind, whether it's propane, whether it's a natural gas, or whether it's carbon monoxide, this is a nice relief valve for that as well, though that shouldn't be happening. That's something there. But we really want to discourage anyone from closing off any of those vents in their attic.
Right. In a vast majority of the country, and we talk about here all the time, the most important place to insulate is your attic floor. That's where you're going to get your money back on the cost of the insulation, because it's going to keep the rooms below warmer. Now, most people are only, and this is fine, most people, my house as well, we only insulate the floor. We don't insulate between the roof rafters. And the whole idea is that you keep the attic as close to the outside temperature as possible, and everything below is warm to whatever your thermostat set at, because you don't want that hot air leaking up into the attic, because then you're just wasting money, of course.
Exactly. And of course, during this time of the year, there's a lot of other things. You want to make sure that snowblower is ready to go when you really need it. Also, make sure you get together with all of the traction sand, any of the anti-icing pretreatment liquids that you have. Make sure that snow shovel is where you can get it, because you're going to wake up one morning, if you haven't already, and you're going to see that white stuff everywhere. You hate to have to scramble around and try to find that now. Hey, we're just getting started on this hour of today's Homeowner Radio. Want you to give us a ring at any time. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Get ready. We've got a lot of great information we're going to share with you when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
At the Home Depot, we improve things. This holiday season, we've improved holiday shopping. We've made it easy to order online, right from our app, right from your couch. We can have it ready and waiting the same day for faster pickup, to save time and stress. Or if you can't make it to the store, rest easy. We'll deliver. Holiday shopping, improved. This year, make the most of your holidays with a little help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show that we are proud to say that is heard coast to coast on some fantastic radio stations, over 310 radio stations, and is growing all the time. Like right now with a brand new station I would like to announce, WOCA AM 1370 and 96.3 FM in Ocala, Florida.
And a special shout out to General Manager Joe Martone. Thank you, Joe, for putting us on the air there. Ocala is located in north central Florida, just west of Daytona Beach and south of Gainesville. And it's known as one of the only five cities in the world that can use the title Horse Capital of the World, because they do, because it's horse country up there in north central Florida. And there are lots of horse farms. They actually, local farms bred Affirmed, which won the Triple Crown back in 1978. And the horse industry in Ocala and the surrounding area, Danny, listen to this, employs 44,000 people.
Wow.
And produces $2.2 billion in annual revenue. And that's just the horse breeding industry.
Wow.
So hello to everybody up there, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio family. We hope to hear from you. If you have a home building or home remodeling, if you have a horse question, we probably can't help you out much.
We'll call you with the horse questions.
Yeah, that's right. We'll call you with the horse questions.
But we'd love to hear from you. Very easy. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. You can send us an email anytime. We are going to get to a lot of those this week, and that's at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go to Jerry to see if we can answer a question about cabinets. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi there, guys. How are you?
We are doing great.
Great. Thanks.
Terrific.
So glad to have you on the show. I understand that you're trying to get those kitchen cabinets to shine just a little bit.
Well, it's mostly the corners, you know, that have just had built up gunk on them from all the years, you know, from not wiping your hands before you open the cabinet, you know,
yeah,
when
sure.
you're cooking
uh-huh.
and all that. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been very successful at getting the gunk off, and I wondered what would be your advice to me.
Okay, well, we have a proven method that certainly has worked well on that. Are the cabinets stained or painted?
Stained.
Okay. All right. Works great on that. So here's what you do. You get a clean sponge, wet it just a little bit, put it in the microwave for about 15 or 20 seconds.
First, we get the germs away, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Do that. And it warms it up just a bit. And then, you know, get you some really good gloves, you know, to wear for that, you know, some vinyl gloves. And then get a citrus cleaner. You know, the citrus cleaners, I've just really have used them in a lot of different ways, but particularly when you're trying to do a little degreasing, and then using the citrus spray in conjunction with that warm sponge, you'll be surprised how it will kind of melt off any of that grease and gunk and any of the oils that are on there, and you'll be surprised how it'll really make a big difference in particularly those areas around like your cooktop where you know you have maybe a little bit of that heat that's adding to it, but it really does work very, very well. We've recommended this to a lot of homeowners and have heard some great feedback on it as well.
Well, that sounds great. Do you have to dilute it or anything?
Not at all. No, you can just spray it right out of the bottle.
So you just get it at a big store, right?
Yeah, you can get it at just about any store at all. Different types of citrus cleaner that's available. And everybody needs a new sponge anyway, so why not get a brand new sponge? And
sure.
You'll see a big difference in it. It really does make a difference, Jerry.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's great. Because I've tried a lot of things and nothing's moving it. So great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just want to add one other thing. You're talking about in the corners, and what I've found is an old toothbrush, you dip it into whatever cleaning solution you have or spray it on, and a toothbrush will help you get into those corners. And I assume you're talking about the corners of like the where the door panel meets the door frame.
Yeah, where the doorknob, where the knob is to open it.
Right, and the knobs, you know, it would be easier to clean them if you can remove the knobs. So I would unscrew the knobs and access to it. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
Okay, Jerry, thanks so much for being with us, and I hope you have a nice holiday season.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we want to remind you about the Metal Roofing Alliance Buyer's Guide. You know, I wanted to point you to the free metal roofing ebook on their website, metalroofing.com. It'll help you understand when you should replace your roof, why you should consider a metal roof, and a whole lot more. Their website has a lot of great resources as well, including articles, videos, and even homeowner support if you have any specific questions that you would like answered by a metal roofing expert. They're also able to guide you to those metal roofing experts because that roof is only going to be as good as the company and the individuals that install it. So again, check it out at metalroofing.com. Let's go to the emails here. Joe, I wanted to see if we could chisel away at this list.
All right.
And again, we appreciate any emails we get. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came from Tim in Daphne, Alabama. I recently noticed a single thin diagonal crack in the mortar joints of my 23-year-old brick veneer home. The crack extends diagonally down from the top corner near the roof for approximately 4 feet. The crack is small and is only in the mortar, not in the bricks. Now, I understand this could be caused by a lot of reasons, including settlement at the corner of the house, temperature changes. The crack does not appear to be changing. I'd like to know your thoughts on the cause and potential repair. Is there any mortar grout repair that I could try that would be very aesthetically pleasing? The good news here, Tim, of course, is that it is following the mortar joints and is not crossing through the brick. When you have a line, especially one that's vertical, and you see it crossing through the face of the brick, that's definitely points to some type of settlement. And settlement is not good in any situation because a lot of times it doesn't quit settling, and those cracks get bigger and bigger. What you're looking at is more of an expansion and contraction type of crack. And to tell you the truth, a lot of times that happens because originally when they did the mortar work, it may be that they finished up one day. The next day, they didn't prepare the brick surface properly. They laid the new bricks, and that never really stuck together, kind of like a cold joint that you have in concrete. So most likely, this is a very simple thing. skin. And Joe, as far as repairing a small hairline crack like that, I think there's nothing better than if he was able to really figure out what the original mortar color is, which almost all of it is the traditional gray or buff, and then mix that very carefully so that it is the right, and then just put on the rubber gloves and just work that into it so that you're not getting a lot of mortar on it and not getting mortar on the face of the brick, and that crack will really disappear. I think that'll be the best way to handle it.
Yeah, if you could match that old mortar, and it probably won't look it might look pretty obvious. The repair might look pretty obvious at first because it's not weathered. And we often say when you're patching mortar or concrete, sometimes the repair is more obvious than the crack is. And the other option is if he doesn't want to use mortar, Quikrete makes a mortar repair caulk that's textured. And so when you put it on, it has like a little bit of texture in it, just like the mortar does. So when you put it on, it's made to blend in with standard gray mortar. So if that's what Tim has, this might work out great. Just get a caulking gun, put it in, wipe it smooth. And the other great thing is, unlike mortar, which dries hard, this caulk has a little flex to it, so it'll expand and contract and maybe hide that crack for a little longer.
You know what I saw somebody do one time, and I thought this was really clear. You know, back in high school when you had those little bitty glass slides that you would, you know, look under the microscope on? I saw someone that had it was a home inspector that I met many years ago, and he was trying to help a homeowner determine if a crack was an active crack or active settlement.
Right.
So he took that little glass piece and glued it over a particular crack. So he glued it with epoxy glue over
right.
it. Now, and then he said, let's give it a month or so. He went back a month later, and the glass had a thin crack on it that shows right. that movement was still taking place. So very simple way of seeing if you still have movement there. And by just putting that rigid piece of glass over it, you know, it showed that there was something active, and they were able to correct the foundation problem that they found on it. So
very clever.
Little,
I like that.
Little simple little things there. And that's one of the things that we really focus on here on today's Homeowner Radio, is really giving you some simple ways to approach what could be some complicated problems in your home. We'll break it all down for you to make it a lot easier, not only to understand the problems, but to take care of them. Hey, we'll be right back here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, there's two things that you have to have for a successful paint job: good prep and good tools. But good tools doesn't just refer to brushes and rollers that last a long time. They need to make it easy for you to do your best work. And I think the Wooster Shortcut Hook and Hold Sash Brush might be one of my new favorites. The shortcut brushes have been around for a long time, and they make working in really tight places a lot easier, but this one adds another advantage. This little integrated plastic swivel hook is perfect for hanging the brush on the side of a paint can or a bucket, so you spend less time looking for a safe place to park your brush and less time cleaning up messes. Plus, the soft elastomeric handle gives you extra comfort and control, and the full-size head means these small brushes still deliver smooth, fast coverage. So you might be very interested in this brush. And, of course, Wooster is known for some really, really good paint brushes. And you can find out more on this particular one by going to HomeDepot.com. It's, you know, I'll tell you, if you hadn't looked around at brushes in a while and you start looking at brushes, there's all kinds of gadgets out there.
Yes, so
some are
for painting.
Some
yep.
are gadgets. Some are yep. really practical tools. But there's a lot of different ways to make that paint job go a lot easier.
Yeah, one of our first rules of painting is buy the best paintbrush you can afford and take care of it, and it'll last you a lifetime.
That's
may
right.
May not look so great after a while, but as long as you clean the bristles, because the handles get all dinged up and paint all over them, but the bristles on a really good paintbrush mm-hmm. literally can last you a lifetime if you take care. I'm meticulous about it. I have a couple of older Wooster brushes that the bristles look like they're brand new because I take care of them. I use my comb and I rake them out after every The time I use them, I wash them every single time I use them, and they look great. I much prefer to do that than keep buying cheap brushes.
I had a painter recently that I found some brushes that were just they were ruined. They were great quality brushes, and they had not been cleaned properly. And I said, "What's going on? What happened?" Well, I didn't want to clean the brushes after I got finished, so I put them in my trunk, and then I was going to take them home, and I forgot about them. Oh, so you owe me some brushes.
That's right.
So, I got my brushes there, no doubt about
good.
It. So, hey, we're going to go right now to Iowa, where we have a lot of great listeners there. Bruce is on the line to tell us about a great project. Bruce, I like this idea that you have in terms of possibly using an old cast iron sink. Tell us what's going on.
Well, me and my wife are in the process of planning a new home, and we have a couple of cast iron sinks that were in our grandparents' home and our parents' home. And we'd like to incorporate one of them into our entry room / mud room. And my question is it possible to refurbish these? And if so, is it something I could do it yourself, or if I'm going to hire somebody?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great question. A lot of people, you know, ponder the same thing. Now, I'll tell you, with a sink that you're able to take and put on sawhorses and, you know, kind of work around it and so forth, is certainly a lot easier to work with than a cast iron tub that's already in place. Now, I have heard all kinds of mixed reviews on the do-it-yourself kits. Now, naturally, they're not all created equal. Some are better than others. All of them require a lot of work, particularly in prepping prior to putting the refinishing coat on there. I would probably say, and I know Joe has a lot of information on this, but I would probably say first check with a pro and at least see what they would charge. If you called them up and said, "Hey, I got a sink here," it's a very common thing that they would do, and get an idea of what that cost is, and then look at the cost, which would be, you know, far cheaper the do-it-yourself, and then of course really look at those reviews. Joe, what do you think on that? Because Joe, I know that you feel the same way I do with a project that Bruce is doing. It's great to use something,
sure,
especially when you throw in a little sentimental value to it and everything. But if you got a brand new house and you put something there that brings the look of it down, then you haven't really stepped forward on it. But what do you think we should tell Bruce on this?
Yeah, Bruce, I love the idea of saving an old sink, especially if it came out of your grandfather's house or your grandmother's or your parents. You could hire someone. But I would suspect, depending on the size of the sink, it might cost anywhere from $300 to $400, which is certainly cheaper than buying a new sink. My attitude is, you know, do the DIY kits work? I know Rust-Oleum makes one. That is probably the most popular one. It's just called Tub and Tile Refinishing Kit. It's about $22. It's essentially a two-part epoxy paint that you roll on. And my feeling is, if you do it and it lasts and it looks great and it lasts for a while, then why not? You know, maybe it'll last forever. And if it doesn't, then you can have it refinished, right? I mean, there's no reason a professional couldn't refinish it at that point. I mean, obviously, you'd have to disconnect it and take it out. But I would start by using an angle grinder with either a grinding wheel or a flap sander. I used a flap sander for the first time recently on my angle grinder to remove rust from some steel tubing. It was amazing how quickly it worked. But in any case, you just remove all the rust from the underside, and you can sand it or use the flap sander on the top side if there's some chips or, you know, because you have to remove all the rust first. And then if there are any cracks or divots or dings that you need to fill, what I would recommend is using, it's called JB Weld water weld epoxy. It comes in like a putty, and you just knead it together to two parts with your hand. You press it in place, then you grind it off. And then once you get the surface smooth, then you can apply this tub and tile refinishing kit. So I'd recommend just trying it. You know, it doesn't take that much. Just one word of caution. The refinishing kit, I don't know what it's made out of, but man, it's got really noxious fumes, so be sure to do
some
it
ventilation
outside.
There.
Yeah, don't do it anywhere near an enclosed space. I would even maybe not even recommend inside a garage with the door open. You might want to be outside for that.
Okay. I got one more quick question if you've got time.
Alrighty.
I have an outbuilding that's lined with 1x12 old barn boards, and I was thinking about possibly, I have to dismantle this anyhow, but I thought about possibly making the sink base out of that, and then also lining the interior of this mudroom with it.
That sounds good.
How would I frame that room, I don't really want to put studs every 12 inches.
Well, you could probably go with 1x4 and go horizontally along there, and then you can run these boards vertically, which is normally the way a lot of the barn okay. wood goes like that, and it works really, really well. Matter of fact, it'll look great. You might want to do a little bit of light sanding on that wood before you install it or after you install it, just to clean it up and get some consistency out of it. You don't necessarily want it to be real smooth, but I think you're going in a great direction. That sounds like it would be awesome. Best of luck to you on your brand new home. Congratulations on that. Happy holidays, and we appreciate you being part of the show. We'll be right back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Are you tired of cleaning your shower? Let Wet & Forget Shower clean it for you. Wet & Forget is the quickest, easiest way to keep your shower sparkling clean. Just spray the shower top to bottom and you're done. Next morning, simply rinse it clean. That's it. Use Wet & Forget Shower once a week to tackle soap scum, shower grime, mold, and mildew stains. No scrubbing, no bleach, and no harsh fumes. Don't waste time scrubbing your shower. Pick up a bottle of Wet & Forget Shower at the Home Depot. For a $2 off coupon, go to homedepot.com/cleaningsavings. Update old dull tiles in kitchen backsplashes or bathroom showers with the Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit from Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on a premium stone or porcelain finish that's waterproof and durable. Plus, it resists mold, mildew, and cleaning chemicals. The kit has everything you need, and right now, it's under $100 with free shipping. Go to DeitchCoatings.com to order your Spread Stone Wall Tile Kit today. That's D-A-I-C-H Coatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Duck Brand Weatherization Products.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I wanted to remind you about something here about cabinets to go. We know our listeners love great solutions for organization and storage, and there's no better way to corral all that clutter than with beautiful cabinetry. Now, we put together a fantastic resource on todayshomeowner.com to help you navigate through everything you need to know about cabinets, from selection and the type of finish to proper installation and all kinds of storage accessories. You can find out, check out all of this informational videos, articles, and more by going to todayshomeowner.com/homeowner. all about cabinets. Brought to you by our friends at Cabinets to Go, because there's so many confusing articles out there, so many different ways to go. That's why we find in putting these resources together for you really helps you to decide, helps you make that decision on exactly what kind of cabinets you want, when, where, how. And I'll tell you what, cabinetry is in just about every room in the house now, so might be surprised once you look through some of the things there. And also just drop by cabinetstogo.com and you'll also see some amazing galleries, photos of cabinets that have been installed by a lot of different homeowners all over. Joe, I tell you, when you know, all cabinets kind of look alike until right. You really dig into them and learn a little bit about dovetail joints and, you know, slow close hinges and
sure.
and so forth. There's a big difference between that set of cabinets and another set of cabinets.
And plus, if you think you have a really clear idea of what type of cabinet you want as far as color or style, door style, that kind of thing, you go to Cabinets to Go and you start looking at the gallery. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I actually want to go for a darker look or a lighter look or a different wood species. So even if you have your mind set on something, you know, do yourself a favor and go and just look at the gallery. You might be surprised that you have your mind changed when you see something that might be a little more stylish or something that fits your home more than what you first had in mind.
All right, let's go back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Ron is on the line now from Pennsylvania. Ron, I'm sorry to hear about this little water leak. Tell us about it.
Hi, Danny and Joe. Yeah, I had a new furnace, kind of malfunction. The condensation line wasn't quite properly hooked up. And so for about a 2 or 3 week period, I had water that was leaking in the basement, and it seeped into the finished area, which was recently done with luxury vinyl tile. So the part of the basement that's just regular concrete, so this is a slab foundation. The part that's just concrete has aired out. The problem's been fixed. We had fans and dehumidifiers. But now under about a third of maybe about 10 rows of the new luxury vinyl tile, I have water that's just kind of down in there. When I step on the planks, I can see the bubbles come up. And it's like, well, this is vinyl, and it was meant to be waterproof/water-resistant for basement slab application. Running the dehumidifier, had the fan going, but it's been like over the weekend, and now it's like, should I pull that vinyl up and dry it out right, or will it just kind of dry itself out if I give it enough time?
Wow, that's a great question and a hard one to answer. We can always answer a question, you know, what would I do? And I think I would give it more time. I mean, I'm a big believer in keeping those fans blowing on it, even after it feels like it's dry, to keep that air circulating on it. Certainly the dehumidifier to drop that relative humidity is a step in the right direction. I think I would do that and see what kind of look you'll have in a week or so. You know, you're not spending much money on the power that it's taking to dry that out. I would try that. My only concern is, the main concern would be if that water has affected the adhesive that's under that, which could very likely be the case. When it was installed, did it have a glue that was applied to the slab before they put it on, or was it a peel and stick?
It's a floating floor.
It's
the plank. It's the vinyl plank that kind of snaps and locks together. So it's actually floating on the slab. I guess the only thought I had is the leak actually happened probably 2 or 3 weeks before we discovered it, because we're not in and out of the basement that much.
I see.
And I'm wondering, like, at what point does water become a mold problem?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the question behind the question, I guess.
I can see a concern on that. Joe, what do you think? You think he can dry that out sufficiently?
Yeah, Ron, first thing I thought of is, and I don't know if you've attempted this technique, but have you just gotten a wet, dry vacuum and just run it over that floor for several minutes and see if you can suck any water out from between the planks?
Yeah, we've done that. And
Did it draw out any water?
Not anything significant. And the weird thing is the water leak wasn't one where it was really an intense water leak. It was kind of like probably on a daily basis, maybe a quart to 2 quarts of water from a condensate line.
Well, that's a lot of water, though, Ron. A quart a day is a lot of water, yeah.
But it's not like I had it underwater.
Right.
So it's kind of in there. And I put tiles on top and I walked on it, and I had the fan, and I did do the wet and dry vac. So I kind of did everything I could from the top down.
Right. And, Ron, does it have a foam underlayment underneath it? Do you know?
No. It's just whatever the underlayment was built into the plank. So it's just the planks are snapped together on the slab.
I think I'd put a small space heater or oil-filled radiator in that room and create a little warmth and keep the fan or dehumidifier going. And I think it will. I don't think it's going to mold, though. I think it's going to eventually, just dry out.
Good. Well, hopefully that'll help, Ron, and certainly hate that you had that happen, but I believe Joe's right. Introducing a little heat in there while keeping that fan blowing, and you'll find that you'll get every single bit of that moisture out of there. Maybe even a little simple hygrometer will help give you a little more comfort level in knowing that humidity is dropping where it needs to. Best of luck on that, Ron. I think you're headed in the right direction. We'll be right back.
This year, The Home Depot is improving how we do the holidays, starting with our Holiday Gift Center. Find great gifts for any doer and the best prices of the year just for you. Like the top-rated Ryobi One Plus Drill Kit and the DeWalt Atomic Drill Kit. Get easy in-store pickup or even easier home delivery. The Holiday Gift Center, in-store and online, and Black Friday prices are still here. Gift giving improved from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, WASPA's last, see store for details.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Bonding heavy materials to vertical surfaces requires an adhesive with grabbing power you can trust. Titebond's Ultimate Tight Grab Adhesive is an advanced formula with twice the initial vertical bond strength of most other similar adhesives. Just press the work into place and go. Tight Grab, the game-changing adhesive that lets you bond heavy materials to vertical surfaces with confidence. Available at select Lowe's locations, visit tightbond.com for details.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
I just wanted to remind you, if tools are on your Christmas list, you're in luck. We're teaming up with our friends at Woodcraft to give away a $1,000 Woodcraft gift card. It's our Tools Under Your Tree giveaway. You can buy a lot of tools for $1,000, so make sure you enter today because time is running out. All you all you have to do is to head over to todayshomeowner.com/giveaway to sign up for your chance to win. Woodcraft carries all kinds of power tools, hand tools, woodworking supplies, and a whole lot more to fill up your whole workshop. So you don't want to miss out. Again, to enter to win a $1,000 Woodcraft gift card, go to todayshomeowner.com/giveaway. Time is coming to an end to sign up, so you get on it right now, and best of luck to you on that. So you can have an opportunity to either fill up your own workshop or have some great gifts for someone else. Right now, let's shift gears and send it over to my buddy Joe Truini for this hour's Simple Solution.
All right, Danny, here's how to transform an old wooden pallet into a decorative Christmas tree for the holidays. So you start, and there's a video of this online at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. You can search for it because it's a little hard to explain it. But you start by marking two diagonal lines from the top of the pallet down at an angle to the second to the last slat on each side. So not to the last slat, but to the second to each slat, second to the last slat on each side. And then you use a circular saw to cut along those lines. And obviously, if there are any nails in the way, you got to pull those first because you don't want to dull your blade. But you make that those diagonal cuts with a circular saw. Then you pry off the slats from the back of the palette and any slats that are beyond that cut. So you end up with four pieces of wood that make a, and then you make four pieces of wood as a simple base just to hold this upright so it doesn't fall over. I guess you could lean it against a wall or hang it, but I made a little base, paint it green, and then you could decorate it with lights or garland or Christmas ornaments. You even paint Christmas ornaments on it. So the idea is you peel off the slats on the back and it reveals what's left on the front, which is that triangular shape. And once it's painted green, you'd be surprised and decorated. It kind of looks like a Christmas tree.
Boy, that's a pretty simple one there. And again, it's always fun to take something that you might end up, you know, throwing away or burning or
right,
whatever,
yep.
And then turning it into something that'll help you celebrate Christmas. Great, great idea. And as Joe mentioned, you can see a video of this by going to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. And while you're there, you can check out over 500 simple solutions. That'll burn up your whole holiday season, but you'll be enriched with the wonderful knowledge that comes along with listening to Joe Truini. Yeah.
Well, the listening part, you have to watch me for all those hours. That's the challenging
part.
Yeah,
that's a bit more painful right there.
Yeah.
but certainly a lot of information there to be able to share with you. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. We always enjoy getting together with you and talking about a lot of things around the home. And I hope we're able to show you that, you know what, it's really not that hard to handle a lot of those challenges that you have around your house. And if you're listening to a radio station that doesn't carry the second hour, we have a lot of ways that you can hear the second hour. One is, check out our podcast. Thousands and thousands of people are downloading our podcast each and every week, and you can do so by going to todayshomeowner.com/podcast or wherever you download your podcast. We're there on just about all the different platforms. And we certainly appreciate you spending some time with us, and I certainly hope you have a great holiday season. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime. 800-946-4420 or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.